dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. My name is Bruce Knox. I will introduce the other two gentlemen momentarily, but first I want to show you that this and all of our shows, all 277 of them now, Shane, have been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. Located, again, at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can give them a call, 740-773-7529. And, of course, you can look them up on the web, where they have a good website with lots of detailed information at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. We appreciate their continued support of this podcast. And now, as I promised, I want to bring in the two other gentlemen. First, we say hello to John Bruce. John, how are you?
I'm a lot more worn out than I expected to be over a long weekend.
Yeah, this is a three-day weekend for some of you academic types, isn't it?
Four for us.
Four for you. How'd you pull that off?
Just some meetings on Friday.
I see.
We salute El Presidente tomorrow.
Right. We are recording, obviously, on Sunday night.
Yes.
Folks, so, yeah. Well, welcome
a lot
in.
A lot of meetings and such today, but feeling good to be back in the studio, and I'm glad I brought my my service cat with me again.
Yes,
so.
I hear that. That's really, really nice there that you brought her in there. I don't know. Last week I had my service cat available as well, mm-hmm. and I don't know whether people heard that or not. If they didn't, they might have been deaf, but I didn't edit that out. I just figured, what the heck? We're real people here, aren't we? You're looking good. Yes. How about Shane Combs? Shane, how are you?
Oh, I'm ready to go. The middle of the three-day weekend, as you said, and tournament time. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Getting the schedule. I was just going through all the brackets, trying to get my schedule set for the week, and looking forward to it. We have a lot to get to tonight. I'm excited.
We do. So before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of things, I kind of wanted to ask you about your feedback on your all-league team and comments about the anything about the boys list this week. Last week, obviously, we did the girls list, and specifically, I was kind of wondering, usually your list is somewhat different from the official list, and this year, not so much. And were you kind of surprised or pleased, or how did you view that?
Not really at all. I thought it was pretty easy, pretty cut and dry, as I said last week. Yeah. And I wanted to say, because I think next week will be our last show.
Yep.
So I know next week we're gonna cover some feedback things that had to do with last week's show tonight. But next week we'll try to do a clean out the inbox type of show before we turn over to spring here in a few weeks. But tonight, I certainly want to give a shout out to Advanced Services, Crown Hill Golf Club, and North Fork Animal Clinic. I know we'll look at the final girls basketball standings. We'll look ahead at Southeastern Uniota in the tournament trail. We'll do our boys all league squad, as you're saying here in this question. And then we'll talk about each boys team, what we like and what concerns us going in. So, again, thank you, Advanced Services, Crown Hill Golf Club, and North Fork Animal Clinic. But, yeah, Bruce, I don't think so. I feel like it was pretty cut and dry. It's pretty simple. You know, Uniota was 2 clear of Southeastern, mm-hmm. and 6 clear of the rest of the league. And then Southeastern was, 4 clear of the rest of the league. So, you know, Westfall somewhat played them tough there. But so to have a lot of Southeastern Uniota flavor made a lot of sense. And then I thought the top 15 to 17 players, pretty simple. Maybe the difficulty was in ranking them in the perfect order. But in terms of getting the right kids in there, I think the official list made a lot of sense to me. Because like I said, it was one of the easier lists in terms of putting it together over the many years of doing this.
Yeah, I think you said that last week, if I'm not mistaken. Did you think PV girls deserved 2 on the official list?
No, I didn't. I know it's funny to hear me say that. Well, you know, please understand how much I love Liv and Hannah like family. I'd do anything for them, as I would all the kids that I coach. But when I'm on this role here on SBC Sports Talk, I'm not going to, you know, not tell the truth. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where we're not going to give the awards back. You know what I mean? I love those kids. I'm glad they got them. But honestly, I can't hide behind the truth of SBC Sports Talk. You know, Huntington was 7-7. They beat us twice. I know Zane Trace was 1-13, and we did beat them twice. But, man, their product was much, much improved. Mm-hmm. So as you heard me say on my list with a Megan Steele and a Lauren Lane and so forth, those were some worthy kids. So, again – you know, Liv led the league in rebounding, and Hannah was a double-digit kid or a double-digit scorer, a kid that could really, you know, score a little bit in a league that didn't score a lot. So just to be honest, probably not. Again, happy for him, but if I'm giving my SBC Sports Talk opinion, probably no.
Yeah. Well, while I'm thinking about it, do you think the boys' list is going to be as easy as the girls'?
In some ways, yes. Some ways, no. I think 12, 13 players, maybe 14 would be hard to argue with. Mm-hmm. Again, the order's tricky. When you get down to that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, who's on first, who's on second, same way there, second to third, same way third to honorable mention. So certain things, I think some of the special awards will be easy to give out, some not so much. So, I mean, it's I kind of in the middle on that question a little bit.
All right. Well, we will get to that in just a little bit. John, before we go on, any thoughts on what we've kind of talked about so far? What was your thoughts on the official list and so forth?
I thought it was pretty good. Like Shane said, it was kind of easy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was a little surprised about the Paint Valley getting 2 on. So I'm glad Shane was able to kind of step back and say that. And you know, with the boys list, I do think, you know, it depends on how you look at it. Do we reward the two teams that finished 4 games free of everyone else? Mm-hmm. Or do we kind of spread the wealth? You know, you kind of have to look at it to me that way as well, because you know, if you finish 4 games free, that means probably have a pretty good number of the top players in the league, but you know, we'll see how this goes.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. I think that's what in our second segment here. But up first this week, we look at the final standings for the girls and analyze our top 2 teams as they enter district play. And our first official segment here going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Call them at 877-947-4499. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio in the heating, cooling, and refrigeration business. You can look them up on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com, and there you can schedule a consultation to get it today. Advanced Services, 877-947-4499. Well, first in this segment, as I indicated, we're going to talk a little bit about the tournament and the regular season wrap up here for the girls. It seemed that they kind of overlapped this week, and as many predicted, we're down to just 2 still playing. So I got 2 questions for the both of you, and I'll just kind of throw these up. This is a toss up here. First, what are your thoughts on the final standings and how the predictions played out?
Well, I'll start there, and you know, not a ton of surprise in the girls' league. I think you could take a look at a couple games here and there. You know, I kind of joked, but I was kind of being serious in the preseason predictions about Uniota's busing and their mechanical staff there being very, very important to their championship run. And you know, and then obviously Southeastern, we knew was going to be much improved. I don't know in the preseason, John, if we knew 12-2, but I think we obviously knew that they were going to be right there in the running for the second place spot. I think Adina's quick start flipped the standings on us early a little bit. You know, they beat Westfall, they win in overtime against Huntington. But it's the second straight year where Westfall starts slow and ends strong. And then, you know, Adina kind of went the other way second half. We knew Piketon's youth being really, really good. So in the second half, that makes sense. Paint Valley kind of the same way. When they got healthy, played a much better brand of basketball. I think led 5 league games in the fourth quarter that they ended up losing. So, you know, there's 2 or 3 games they just completely, you know, forfeited or gave away. So Zane Trace much better. So I guess once we get to the end, you know, John, do you see that? I mean, to me, if we were to analyze it in the middle, we might have questioned ourselves a little bit more. But once you get to the end, these things have a funny way of evening out and playing. I don't know that there's anything that shocks us too much from what we thought in the preseason. Is that fair?
I think kind of the separation of Southeastern from the 3 spot, I think, did surprise me. I think maybe that second half against Westfall where they won by like 26 really is what opened my eyes to them. But I did think that, you know, I thought Huntington would be a little bit better, maybe more in the non-league than in the league, because I think being around that 3, I mean, they obviously finished 5th, but right around 500 made more sense. But the going 1-8 in the non-conference kind of surprised me. But I was impressed with Piketon early on, so them making a nice little push at the end of the year, was something that I wasn't sure if I expected, but I knew they'd be a lot more competitive. So I'm really looking forward to them here in the next few years.
Yeah. Guys, I also wondered what your thoughts are about Uniodo and Southeastern moving forward.
Well, John, I think with Uniodo, I'm okay with where they're at. I really like where Southeastern's at. Let's start with Uniodo, I guess. You know, first of all, with Uniodo, D2's no joke. I mean, when you get in the top 8 there, and there's, what, 2 to regional?
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know who you're going to avoid. You know what I mean? Like Circleville, Sheridan, Warren, Vinton County, you're going to play somebody. So, honestly, they're probably not in a terrible spot. They didn't quite have a good enough seed to maybe play more of the line of a Logan Elm, Courthouse, Miami Trace, 3 teams that, you know, well, I guess Logan Elm beat them. So,
yeah.
You know, pretty competitive type of thing. Miami Trace, I guess, did too. They beat Courthouse in a real tough one. So, I guess when you look at that first line of teams, you know, don't you kind of agree that the schedule's tough? I guess that I like Uniota's experienced guard play, and I like how they shouldn't be overwhelmed. It's a long, long list of seniors in that senior class that have kind of been there, done that a little bit. So I guess that works. I guess my biggest concern at this level now, John, would be that they're going to start to play opponents that they're not going to necessarily overwhelm with bigger, faster, stronger. Some of those things even out. So it's going to come down to more, can they get stops, and then can they execute a little bit? Where do the easy points come from that sometimes they create off of their defense or just offensive rebounds or things like that, maybe when they're the elite team athletically? Does that make sense now that they're into the D2 district?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think – if you're going to really look at the matchups of who they could have played, I think probably Vinton County is who they would choose, just because of
there's not they
almost really match up athletically well with each other. Like Circleville and Sheridan and Warren are all like have really good size on the front line. And Vinton County, you know, still I feel like size-wise, athletically, it's a very good matchup. Should be a really fun game to watch. The thing that I don't love is I watched Circleville the other day, and I can see why they're the number one team in the state. Now, I don't know if they're the best team in the state, but, man, they're big, fast, physical, and really talented. So I think the winner of the Vinton County Uniota game is going to have their hands full. But like you said, Sheridan or Warren on the other side, it doesn't really matter. You're going to play somebody really good in that D2 side.
Well, certainly. And, you know, Bruce, they just played Warren earlier this week, and you know, I didn't go real, real well. So I think in talking to Coach Miller, he understands just exactly what John said, and he probably agrees with John in terms of matchups. I guess for Southeastern on the D3 side, I like where they're at. I've said all along, I think this is a team that's tournament tough. They're built for tournament play. When you look at an Oak Hill, Alexander, Eastern Brown type of bracket, keep in mind Southeastern had beaten North Adams earlier this year. They've lost to Uniota twice. Peebles was a regional runner-up last year with pretty much everybody back. with an incredible guard, maybe, you know, one of the best players I've seen in the area this year in the Justice kids. So, really only one bad loss earlier in the year, John. I mean, honestly, they've been pretty good in every aspect, every challenge, every type of matchup. So I don't see them getting into a matchup as long as they aren't overwhelmed by a defensive team that can maybe pressure a little bit. But you know, the versatility of Huff and Graves really helps Mitten kind of handle the ball to where she doesn't have to do it all on her own. And, you know, obviously Southeastern's very rarely going to be overwhelmed by size. You know, you're talking about one of the bigger teams in the Southeast District. So, you know, John, I think we touched on this last week a little bit. I kind of like their bracket, and I think it's one of the chances, one of the more competitive opportunities we've had, which sounds crazy when you think of teams with like Ella Skeens and mm-hmm. some of those kids over the years. But like, honestly, I think it has potential to be one of the more competitive opportunities that an SVC girls team's had at the district level.
Yeah, I agree completely. I Oak Hill and Northwest had played three times. So the first two were pretty close. So them knocking off Northwest wasn't like a big shocker to me. But I do think that's a good matchup for them with their size, their ability to rebound, their ability to get to the foul line in situations, you know, no matter how the game's going to be called. Because if it's called, you know, kind of loose where it's more physical, that plays into their hands also. So I think they're really well set up for definitely the Oak Hill game. You know, and Alexander and Eastern Brown winner would be a very tough matchup in a district final, but just like D2, you're not going to get an easy game in a district final.
Right. Once you get there, you're going to play someone good anyway. Right.
So I like their chances to get to a district final, and then just kind of, I don't think they'll get overwhelmed by anybody. Like you mentioned them beating North Adams earlier. I know you can't compare scores, but North Adams is the only loss for Eastern Brown. So
yes,
that would give them some confidence going to that game as well. So I like their matchups a lot better.
I watched a lot of North Adams film this past week, and you know, North Adams being the type of team that they remind me a little bit of Southeastern. They have some Southeastern characteristics, mm-hmm. so that would be an interesting matchup. But again, Oak Hill's got a lot of tradition, you know, a lot of a proud tradition. So it's something that they're definitely going to have to go in there and not pay attention to that seed in front of Oak Hill. Make sure they play well,
right?
And Union Odo plays Vinton County on Thursday night. When does Southeastern play?
Also Thursday.
Okay. Same night, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Southeastern gets like 3 months off, like the way the South District does. Yeah, before.
But only 9 days.
Goodness. I mean, and then we wonder why sports overlap.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yep, they're used to playing three times a week, and now we move it to once every, you know, 10 days or something like that.
Yeah,
Uniota would get 6 days off, so still that's way too long.
Yep, sure is, and just like Shane says, you wonder why sports overlap. Well, I'm sure if you looked into it, Shane, the dollar sign is there.
No, it is, and I know facilities and things like that, but you know, again, it's not 1985. We have a lot of nice facilities in our Southeast District. You know, I mean, we have options. I mean,
can I say something also?
Yeah.
Southeastern and Waverly are completely free after Saturday. So why do they have to wait an extra week to play at Waverly? They wait 7 days after Waverly is done with the sectional tournament to play again there.
Well, a lot of times they'll talk about it's the other districts and try not to get too far out ahead or whatever, but I would ask the same
thing. Don't start so early.
I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's why we're overlapping. We've got teams playing regular season games and things like that. If we're not in a big hurry in the Southeast District, let us know.
All right, gentlemen. All right. We'll hold it right there. And as promised, this week's show's all about honoring the elite boys in the SVC. And next, we will have our feature segment and name our all-league squad. And our segment with the All-SVC Boys Basketball Selections is going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Just give them a call, 740-773-7387. And, of course, you can look them up on the web at NorthForkAnimalClinic.com. So, guys, we're here. We're going to name now, or you're going to name, rather, your All-SVC Boys Basketball Selections. And as we head into this, because of the affiliations of John on Unioto's side and Shane on the Paint Valley side, I've been forewarned that they each are going to kind of, I will say, avoid naming people from those teams as they go through. But last week, where we had Shane kind of go through and give his picks, and John just commented, in this case, we're going to have both guys give their picks. First thing, though, we're going to get out of the way is the coach of the year. And we're going to go John.
Bruce, can I jump in real quick here?
Surely,
I want, John, did you want an opportunity to say anything about Unioto is a whole group, or maybe some individuals first? I didn't want to cut you off from that. I just know in the official rankings, maybe you weren't comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I think with us, it's going to be tough to kind of rank them in a way. I do think Isaac Little is probably our top player if you're looking at awards like this. I do think before his injury that he would have had a really good push at player of the year, because for a while he was in the top five in points per game, steals, rebounds, assists, free throw percentage. I think he was up there in field goal percentage, and then really, really got slowed down by his ankle injury, which he's thankfully all the way back from. After that, I think with really Josh Lambert was our second leading scorer. He had a really big breakout year for us. And then after that, I mean, you got two guys that, with Reese Wheeler and Cameron DeBoard, averaging about 7.5 points a game, and Nate Kaiser, only about 5.5 points a game, but one of the better shooters in the league, shooting over 40% from three and being one of the better perimeter defenders in the league. Him and Cameron DeBoard were the kind of teamed up to big time on Cam Evans to help us knock off St. Trace earlier in the year and be able to share the championship with them. But I do think the big thing with our Unioto group is the balance and ability to have guys come off the bench and fill in roles like Jeremy Lambert. I really think he scored more points this past week than he did all of last year combined. He's found his confidence again after not really having it lately. Has been really good for us. So he's somebody who, you know, you don't know you didn't know what to expect coming into this year. And like Carson DeBoard started the first half of the year, played really well. Has had a nice year overall. Gunnar Greenwalt did a great job in Isaac Little's absence, running the show. And Cater Marco plays as hard as any kid in the league. And you know, I know kids do not want to be guarded by him. And then Evan Parks, another kid that's done a great job off the bench for us. So I think the thing that really helps Unioto is the depth, the teamwork. Then you have two kids, Dalton Ford and Deshaun Branson, who bring it every night in practice and, you know, don't really get to show it much during games, but they're great teammates. And I think that teamwork has really been what pushed Unioto to the top this year.
Well, I think that's well said. I mean, you know, when you run down there, Unioto's depths, obviously their identity. And I guess for me, Bruce, there's a couple things. One, you know, he mentioned some stats. You know, I mentioned last week I didn't really look at stats much for the girls, and same way the boys, our stats have been a little bit on hold with all the flu and all the different games, coaches playing four or five times a week, and it's We are going to sit down this week and get them all collected and get a final run so that they're on there to look at, you know, so a lot of the stats on there are you know, two weeks, 3 weeks behind in some teams, just having trouble getting some of those in, but we'll certainly catch up on that. On the Paint Valley side, I wanted to talk about some kids just real quick too. One, obviously a senior, just wanted to highlight just the career of Bryce Newland. I'll let other people just decide where he belongs on the 2020 list here, but you know, he's 33rd all time on the all time SVC list, a chance to get into the top 30 here if they have good tournament week. You know, he's played from day one, probably somewhere in the 800 to 900 rebound, all time leader in threes now at Paint Valley after the other night. He's done a lot of winning in comparison to the history of that program. So, Bryce, tremendous kid. And then obviously Cordell Grubb's been a real breakout. We always knew from a junior high level, even last year, he could score, most likely a future 1,000-point scorer himself. But I thought Johnny became a far more complete player in 2020.
Yes.
You know, he had a tough year with, well, keep in mind, you know, Bryce, you know, missed some time early in the year. And even now he's getting closer, but you know, when I've watched Bryce, knowing him as well as I do, I'd still say Bryce is about 80-85% of what he could be, you know, at 100%. And then, just kind of a recognition thing, probably not a top 15 player, obviously, but I just wanted to say how good it was to see Cruz McFadden back the other night. You're talking about a kid for 2 weeks or for 2 years, excuse me, has just gone through up and down, you know, physical issues. And I was glad the way you reported that the other night there, John, when he hit the shot that he hit. Certain shots are worth more than 3 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where those teammates, they understand what he's been through to get back and so forth. So, what a nice piece to get healthy here. They certainly have gone through a couple years of not being real healthy in the backcourt. So, that'll be good. So we'll see where those guys go on John's list tonight. We'll see where they go on the official list, but I just wanted to highlight the two Paint Valley kids there. There's certainly some other kids that could fall into an honorable mention, and maybe we'll highlight them in the future weeks here. But I certainly wanted to mention those, Bruce. But that's why I cut you off there.
No problem whatsoever. I'm glad you did. I had not even thought about that, but there's some good things. And again, we'll go right into it and get the Coach of the Year out of the way here first. So, John, we're going to give you the first shot here, and we'll give you the first shot all the way down through this. So you've got that going for you. What do you say for Coach of the Year?
I'm going to go Homer pick. I'm going to go Matt Hoops, Uniota, with maybe an honorable mention to, I thought the coaching was really good across the league this year. And I know if you ask Matt, he would tell you that, you know, all the credit goes to the kids, which, you know, obviously it does, but I think this has been his best coaching job. You know, getting that teamwork to come together, to get everyone to buy into their roles. And I think that's, it's shown in the 19-3 season and 13-1 in the league.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Shane, what about your Coach of the Year?
I've been in some pretty intense conversations about this week, just in terms of, you know, not when I say intense, just that's how, like, there's 2, 3, 4 people I'm with all the time that, you know, we just, that's how we talk. We talk sports. It's intense. It's, you know, and I'll be honest, I don't know. You know what I mean? When you go to the co-champions, obviously, you know, Zane Trace Uniota. Zane Trace was expected to go 14-0. They go 13-1. They lose on the road by 2. Does that mean they had a terrible season? Yeah. They probably didn't meet expectations. Uniota was rebuilding last year. You know, Little comes in. Little and DeBoer become an all-league backcourt this year. You know, the depth of talent throughout the, as John said, I do give Hoopsie a lot of credit for getting the buy-in. You know, it's not easy sometimes to cut the minutes back and get people to see something big picture. But yeah, I would probably go Coach Hoops. Now my all-league list might contradict that a little bit, but I could see where he went. I'm glad you said what you said about other coaches, John. I thought Kyle Miller did a good job. Yes. I think he has potential to be a great coach. I was impressed with the way Westfall improved. I watched Westfall in the middle of the year where I thought they were going to completely fall apart, and I'll be a week later if they didn't go and win an Adena. So, and really save that. Coach Williams, the way he's fought through injuries in his first 2 years, that was an impressive win last night against Piketon. And then Coach Adams, Coach Snyder, I'll say this real quick, but, you know, those are two teams early in the year. I had three, four good basketball people tell me how bad Huntington Southeastern was supposed to be. And again, I think it's just a credit there. Coach Adams been, you know, an SVC champion as a coach on the girls' side, and he comes in and does a good job. Coach Snyder's been a, you know, he's won over 100 games there in his varsity career, and he's taken Paint Valley to the district. Now he's taken Huntington girls to the district, and now on the boys' side, you know, doing a good job. So, yeah, I mean, we just have good coaches, but I'm all right with Coach Hoops there in terms of what they've been able to do and to get this thing to 13-1.
All right, we're going to start then on the players, and we're going to go in reverse order. We're going to give John the first shot at, for instance, number 15, then Shane will give his 15, and then John back to 14 and so on and so forth. So, John, if you want to start us off with your who do you have in the 15 spot there?
I had Aaron Gillum, Southeastern. I just think he's the senior on that group. You know, I think he's done a really good job of you know, finding his shots this year and really making the most of it. He's a really good team player, one of the better shooters in the league.
John, in the 15th spot, I went Reese Wheeler, Uniota. I think, to me, he's the biggest swing in the entire standings this year, him coming over from Southeastern to Uniota there. I thought what it did was allow, you know, Uniota's backcourt in the rebuild year there last year was really locked and loaded. I thought what he did was he brought in, 60, 70 varsity game experience into Uniota and allowed a lot of these Uniota frontline guys to maybe fall into their more comfortable role. I think they would have been asked to do a lot more. Not to say they couldn't have grown into that role. I just think he allowed them to fall in some real favorable roles. He's a versatile kid, can score it far more than he had to for that team because of how deep they are. But he blocks shots, he rebounds, versatile big that certainly never ties your hands. In today's game, Bruce, it is so important to have a versatile big, or they can really tie your hands on the defensive end. And Reese actually increases your ability on the defensive end, which is his number one attribute, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. 14. In the 14th spot, I had Aiden Eastep of Southeastern. He's a player to watch, a sophomore. I thought really turned it on later in the year. He's kind of tasked to do a lot of different things, but I thought he was able to score inside out later in the year and did a really nice job of it. I think he's the type of guy, you know, he's going to be at the top of the scouting report for the next 2 years to really help that team along. And I think this year he made some great strides in being that guy.
In my 14th spot, I really struggled with the Piketon group throughout the whole list. I went Levi Gallion. The nights I watched them, he just happened to be the guy that caught my eye. You know what I mean? With his size, his versatility on the defensive end. I watched him guard three or four different types of all league names that I'm sure are both on our list tonight. Or on both of our lists tonight. And he just did a nice job. His versatility, he's got good size, he handles it. I thought he shot the three ball well. Very, very balanced team. So Piketon was hard for me to sort out, but I'll go Gallion there in the 14th spot.
For my 13th spot, I had also went to Piketon. I went to Tyree Harris. They're one of their two seniors. He was, I believe, in the top 10 in the league and three-pointers made, which you probably wouldn't expect him to step outside and knock down shots, but really nice shot. Does a good job rebounding. I thought his game took a big step forward this year because he was, to me, he was almost purely interior, and then he was able to kind of go inside out. Also led the league in charges taken. You know, and for me, that's one of those stats that – or he was leading the league on the site, at least – last time we saw, but I thought really brought a nice toughness to that Piketon group to help them get to where they were at this year.
In the 13th spot for me, I really like Aiden Eastep. I've watched Southeastern, I think, five times in person this year, and I think he brings a toughness. He rebounds it. He scores inside. He can step out and score. Even the thing that impressed me, John, the second half of the year, he even started to be able to create a shot a little bit off the dribble and drive a little bit and slash. So really, really impressed with him. And I think he's got a bright future ahead of him for the Panthers.
In my number 12 spot, I went Lucas Blackburn, Westfall. If you notice, the big thing I enjoy out of my big guys is guys that can step outside and knock down a three from time to time. And he just brought a great toughness to the Mustangs, from playing some JV ball last year to kind of being their best player by the end of the, or one of their better players by the end of last year, as a sophomore. And then I think he just kind of continued it this year. Big, strong, physical, really good around the basket, great rebounder, right around 10 rebounds a game, leading the league in rebounding. And for an undersized team as well. So he had a lot of the interior focus on him, and I thought he did a great job of dealing with it this year.
Our first match, number 12, Luke Blackburn. Again, for a lot of things you just said, that versatility, similar to what I said with Wheeler, whenever you have an athlete like that, on our last update, he was on the verge of being a double-double guy, about 10 points, 9 rebounds. I like him a lot. I think we're both spot on with where we have him here on this list there. High third team, I think, is a good fit for him.
And then number 11, I had Triton Davidson, Zane Trace. Triton's an energy guy who I would guess he could probably guard 1 through 5 if he needed to. Really good defender. Great rebounder, really good shot blocker. Had ankle surgery, I believe, in like the middle of October. Didn't do anything in the preseason, and then comes out first game and still has the same bounce and everything. But you can just kind of tell the second half of the year he's really gotten into game shape. And I think that's kind of what has taken Zane Trace to almost at another level also. Him and Nesser were really a big part of why Zane Trace was able to knock off Union the second time, because of his relentless rebounding and effort.
Yeah, in the 11th spot, same team, different player. I go point guard Colby Swain. This one really bothered me because I think it's too low for him. You know, Bruce, how hard it is for me to move the point guards down. This is a first team value all the way down at the 11th spot, and I'll try to explain that as the night goes on here. But I love this kid. Good assist to turnover ratio, really, really defends. I think he's a kid that could score a little bit more if he had to on another team, but on this team, understands his role, does a good job of getting everybody involved, and just a rock solid kid on playing a key role for a really good team. So that wraps up our third team.
All right, why don't you guys, John, if you'll first recap your 15 through 11 for us, please.
I had Aaron Gillum, Aiden Eastup, both of Southeastern, Tyree Harris of Piketon, Triton Davidson, Luke Blackburn of Westfall, and Triton Davidson of Zane Trace.
Okay, and Shane, if you'll do the same, please.
Started with Wheeler of Uniota, Gallion of Piketon, Aiden Eastup, Southeastern, Blackburn, Westfall, and then point guard Colby Swain from Zane Trace.
All right. Before we get too far down into the next two teams or up into the next two teams, well, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity here to maybe give us a little flavor of who might be on your honorable mention, maybe kind of fell out of the first three teams, but deserves some mention. John, I'm going to give you that opportunity first.
All right. I had two for Piketon, which is the only team I had two for, which was Brody Fuller and Levi Gullion. You said a lot about Gullion and his value to the team. You can tell that, he's going to be a really good one as time goes on. I thought Fuller really did a good job stepping in, handling the ball, handling for them, especially when the leady kid went down. Kind of stepped into a role I don't know if he had played and did a really good job of it. Westfall, I had Hayden Leemaster, really good energy guy, made a lot of things happen for him. Caleb Smith of Huntington, one of the league's better shooters, could really get going at times. Cruz McFadden of Paint Valley, obviously with an injury, he may have been in the top 15 if not, but I thought his it was just great seeing him back last night and making a huge shot for him. I had Derek Wheeler of Southeastern. Looks like he's going to be a really good one. Really athletic kid. really good three-point shooter as well. Dylan McDonald of Edina, one of the better defenders in the league, usually matched up with the other team's best guy. And then Luke Johnson of Zane Trace is my last one of just can make timely shots, is a guy who can guard 1 through 5 and does a really good job of it, kind of deceptively athletic, and does a great job on the defensive end for them.
All right. Shane, your honorable mention individuals.
Well, I love the Smith pick from Huntington. Again, really good shooter. I think that's fair. Didn't really have a spot for a second Huntington kid this year, but I think Smith certainly there. Aaron Gillum of Southeastern's on my list there as well. I do like the Wheeler pick. I do think he's going to be a good one, but I think Aaron is a senior there in the leadership he's provided and some of the big games he's had. I, too, had the two Piketon kids. It's just with me having Gallion on my third team, John, we were pretty close there. We just flipped a little bit. I go Harrison Fuller in the honorable mention. I love Lee Master pick on the Westfall. I agree with that for all the reasons you said. Davidson and Johnson both for Zane Trace would be on here. I had a lot of trouble with Adina. I was pretty locked on who I had on my teams. From there, I think McDonald is one of the breakout stars. Throckmorton, Garrison McKee. I'm okay with whatever on the honorable mention. But to be honest, I was kind of set my top 15. And then this is going to sound kind of funny, but everyone on Uniota's team that's in their top 10 that doesn't make my all league list is going to be honorable mention. Like how do you pick one and not the other five? Like Kaiser, Jeremy Lambert, Carson DeBoard, Marco Park, Greenwald. I mean, it's just, again, I think John said it well in his opening. I think their depth and so forth and how consistently they played all of them in their rotation. So in all seriousness, I think that's what honorable mentions for. If a kid was on your radar, you know, when you're putting your top 15 together, that's what honorable mention is. So why not give some love to those kids that you think are deserving. So look forward to a good top 10 here. It's going to be a good list.
Okay. Speaking of top 10, let's get back into that. And John, if you could start off with your number 10, and then we'll go to Shane for his and back and forth.
For my number 10 spot, I had Cordell Grubb of Paint Valley. Shane, you talked really well about him in the kind of preface of this. I do think he evolved his game a good bit, man. He's a unreal scorer. Did a better job on the defensive end. I really look forward to seeing how his game evolves in the next 2 years without a Newland with him. Also, I saw different ways that he could score. He posted up a good bit last night, and I thought he did a really good job out of the post. So it's really going to be fun to watch him coming as an all-around scorer as well.
Well, good pick. I agree. In the 10 spot, I'll go Preston Sykes at Dina. Preston's a real versatile kid that I really like, can really defend. An Adina team that if they have one weakness, a little bit undersized at times in terms of frontline strength. I love his versatility on the defensive end. I've watched him defend all league guards as well as all league bigs. Capable scorer, hits the three ball, could go off the drive. Just a real nice player, real nice leader, just a winner, competitive kid. I like him a lot. So I put him in my 10th spot.
In my 9th spot, I had Preston Sykes of Adina. Like you said, he was with Garrison going down last year, he was the starting point guard on a regional team. And now this year he's almost playing the five defensively. So that just – to me, shows his versatility, really good defender, really hard-nosed kid, kind of like one of those ultimate competitor type kids. And I think you can see why the team sees on win, because he brings that kind of that winning effort and attitude.
My 9th spot, I go to Uniota, Josh Lambert. I think I mentioned with Wheeler earlier in the list, I think Josh is one of the kids that really benefited from Reese coming in. Josh was able to use his versatility, his strength to really find some favorable matchups. Again, a good defender, good rebounder, a physical kid, brings the toughness to the team, really fits their identity well. So in that 9th spot, no problem with getting Josh that high on my list this year.
For me at number 8, I had Jay Wyman of Westfall. The league's best shooter. I mean, really, if you really get him at getting his shot, at different times. I think he evolved his offensive game. I thought he distributed the ball well this year. I think, you know, at times in the past, maybe you thought there might be different ways to slow him down. I think he really turned it on offensively this year. And defensively, I thought was much improved as well. So I think he's one of those kids that would be able to push for a first team. And if you said that to me, I would have no problem with it.
Yeah, in my eighth spot, I stay at Uniota with Cam DeBoard. I just, again, statistically, I don't really need to see stats or different things. I've watched Uniota play, I think, six times this year. Just a kid that can score if he needs to. He can really extend the defense. He handles the ball. Keep in mind, this was a team, Uniota, that went through a time without Little. And his leadership, his ball handling, so forth, played a big role in that guard play. I really think he's a talented kid. I think he's a kid that if he were in a situation where he was asked to score 15, 16 a night, I think he could. I think he's that type of talent in terms of shooter and drive. You know, John, you're around him more every day. So, you know, mm-hmm. if you disagree with that, you know, tell me. No. I just think offensively he has that type of talent. And on this team, statistically, you know, it's like, you're going to give something up because you're part of something bigger than yourself. So mm-hmm. I just respect his ability. So I put him in my eighth spot.
In my seventh spot, I had Seth Beeler of Huntington. Maybe one of the more explosive and dynamic athletes in our league. You know, he's really tasked to do a lot for the Huntington team. I thought he carried himself really well this year, and he was just relentless on the court. Really good scorer. You know, really stepped it up as an all-around player. You know, I was impressed with his growth as a player from each one of his seasons and kind of all kind of to a crescendo this year.
In my seventh spot, I go Jay Wyman. You know, you talked about threes earlier. I had an interesting conversation with a couple basketball people this week, John, about how, you know, with Olivia Smith at Paint Valley, we'd had the conversation about, as you go into the second half of your career, how can you evolve? Are you going to be known as the best rebounder in the league, or are you going to be known as a really good all-league player? You know what I mean? And I think with uh-huh. Jay early in his career, he was labeled as a shooter. And he's almost turned in throughout the middle to end of his career a specialty kid in terms of a shooter. But I think this year was the first year I really saw, similar to what we said with Grubb, I saw Wyman start to do other things beyond just a three-point shot. His ability to move without the ball, his ability to make plays for others. I thought he was an improved defender. And as a result, I think Westfall became a much, much better team. So obviously, again, incredible shooter, just his presence on the floor. I think sometimes when I watch a team play, if the other coach thinks it's important enough just to completely, you know, run a junk defense or run a certain thing to take a certain kid out, I think that's very telling, right? I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, the respect factor or that you think that's a particular thing you need to do. So I think Wyman in that seven hole, I agree with you. Not quite first team for me, but certainly a much, much improved player just beyond the three-point shooting this year.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And this is maybe our biggest difference so far is in my number six spot, I have Colby Swain of Zane Trace.
I'm fine with that. Yeah,
I mean, with everything you said, you know, with his game, and I just think he does sacrifice for the team, does a really good job of doing his job, distributes really well, really solid all-around player, really good ball handler, doesn't get rattled, really good free throw shooter. I think down at Vinton County earlier this year, he had like 20 points in the first half, just showing what he could do if it was kind of put on him to go out and get some points for the team. I think a really good leader, one of the better defenders on ball in the league, kind of underrated rebounder as well. You can't really go wrong with a team led by a point guard like a Colby Swain.
Well, I love the pick, obviously. And I think what happens too, Bruce, a little bit is where John has some of the Uniota slots open, we're probably not that far off. Even though we're five slots off on our actual list here, we're probably not that far off in terms of what we thought of Colby Swain as a player. Right. In my sixth spot, I go Seth Beeler Again, with where Huntington finished in the league, can't quite get him to the top five. But, man, I can't say enough about the way this young man competed this year. This was a young team. This was a team that every night I watched them, other than when they played Notre Dame the other night in a non-league game, every night I've watched them, they've been completely outmatched. The other team has been bigger, faster, stronger, at least four, if not all five positions. And this kid just competes at a high level. I mean, he for this team to stick their nose in and win, what, five games this year? Yeah. They didn't even get to play Portsmouth Clay. And then keep in mind, a Miller kid threw it in from the other volleyball line. Again, I mean, you're talking about a team that easily could have got 7-8 wins. And I just don't think that's something people would have predicted earlier in the year. And I just think, you know, Seth Beeler deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, you're talking about nights he had 30. You're talking about nights he competed at a high level to keep kids close. But, yeah, just an elite scorer. I think he was second in the league. I think probably as we update it, it's going to be somewhere around the third or fourth spot maybe. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out. But nonetheless, I could get him up to that sixth spot comfortably. Couldn't quite break into the top five, but certainly an outstanding senior season for Seth Beeler.
Okay. John, can you give us a rundown then, 10 through 6, please?
I had Cordell Grubb, Preston Sykes, Jay Wyman, Seth Beeler, and Colby Swain.
And Shane?
10 spot, Preston Sykes. 9 and 8 were Uniota teammates Josh Lambert, Cam DeBoard. 7, Jay Wyman. And 6, Seth Beeler.
Okay. We're in the home stretch now, gentlemen. We've got positions 5 through 1, 1 being the player of the year coming up here. So, John, why don't you take us right into that first team?
In my 5 spot, I had Bryce Newland of Paint Valley. To me, showing kind of the definition of every game matters in a 14-game season. You know, maybe that bumped him up, that performance last night with 31 points and taking over as the all-time leading three-point shooter in Paint Valley history. Just, you know, I would have loved to have seen him with a fully healthy year. Like Shane, you said in the beginning, he's one of the better scorers we've had. In the Sata Valley Conference, and one of the better winners in the Paint Valley history. It just does so many little things. I'm not even sure how many times he dribbled the ball last night. But he got himself in great positions for shots, knocked him down, just made some really heady passes. You know, is just a complete offensive player in kept getting better defensively throughout his career as well. A great rebounder. Yeah, I just can't say enough about him.
Yeah, in my 5 spot, I go to Zane Trace with Nick Nasser. And just a phenomenal talent. Arguably the most talented player in the league. If you're just looking pure talent, skill set in terms of, you know, his size and his ability. Yeah, John, help me here to make sure I'm right on this. Am I understanding that he gets hurt and less than 6 months later after knee surgery, uh-huh. He played on it. That night I was watching him at Zane Trace. That was less than 6 months later, correct?
Yes. I think it was around 5.
Yeah, that's just stupid. I mean, think about that. The work ethic and the determination, when you see some people on those injuries, you know, 7, 8, 9 months, almost a year before they can get back. And obviously he hasn't been full strength all year. He's getting closer and closer, but just his size, his versatility, he can score down low. He can go middle post and get a shot whenever he wants it. He could stretch it out to 3 and shoot it from deep. Outstanding passer. Good defender. You're seeing some of the versatility. Coach Kello kind of changing some things up and using, you know, Nesser as he gets healthier here. And then from what I understand, he gets it done in the classroom too. Number one in his class there. Yep. That's good stuff. So, I mean, to see a kid fight back from that and to perform at the level he has, again, I don't know what his plans are at the next level. I certainly think his versatility, by the age of, say, 20 years old, picture him, John, about 15 to 20 pounds stronger. He'd be a steal at the next level if the right small college level got after him. So, again, I'd be anxious to ask some Zane Trace people there. I've not heard what his plans are, but I just think he's a terrific player. You could put him as high on this list as you wanted, and I wouldn't argue. Remember, Bruce, last week I talked about the difference between all league and then if we were doing a draft, you know. Yeah. It'd be one of those where the general manager would have to do some injury report, maybe, or whatever. But it's you could take him as high on that board as you wanted, and you wouldn't get any argument from that.
For number four, I had Chris Chandler of Piketon. I think if you look at players who made the biggest leap from one year to another, I think it is definitely him. Chandler is, you know, he went from, I think, kind of a part-time starter last year to really being one of the league's elite players really quickly. And he kind of did it immediately this year as well. He just really evolved his all-around game. Last year, he was kind of a spot shooter and pretty good defender. Now he's an elite defender, and he can score in a variety of ways. So I think his ability to grow as a player has really made Piketon a really dangerous team. I know they finished 500, but that's with one player coming back with that averaged 5 points a game, and I think the next highest was like 1.5. So they went from kind of, I think people thought they were going to be on the lower half of the league to really having some competitive games at the top half of the league as well.
Yeah, I think in the four spot, when you talk most improved, you know, we talked Blackburn earlier. I talked Josh Lambert. I think Chris Chandler fits that perfectly, and Chandler will be in my four spot. I just love his improvement, his ability to shoot the three. Really, he's quietly turned into one of the elite defenders in our league.
Yes.
I think his biggest improvement, John, after watching him play three or four times this year, is – athletically, and it's really turned into becoming arguably the most versatile defender we have in our league. You know, if someone had asked me earlier in the week, Bruce, why don't you do your all defensive team like you did there for 3 or 4 years on the website? And, you know, I'd love to hear some of those things. And yeah, it's certainly something maybe we need to look into, but Chandler would be the type of kid that would have the opportunity to compete for a defensive player of the year type of guy. You know, he's a guy that, you know, can, with his length, create some steals. He blocks some shots. He guards a variety of different players. And then when I think of unique defensive things, again, when he stretches out on the top of that 1-3-1, when they extend it, what a versatile weapon he becomes there. So, yeah, I love his game. I think that he's a big, big reason Piketon's been able to accomplish what they want. And I know Piketon never did quite get one of those top teams how many predicted, but you never know here in the second season if they'll get another opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, again, Chandler in that four spot, to me, is a no-brainer.
For number three, I had Nick Nesser of Zane Trace. Pretty much everything you said, Shane, just really, really summed it up really well with him. Just battling back from injuries, he tore his knee up in between seventh and eighth grade, and when he made it back for the very end of eighth grade for the little bit of a tournament, or a couple games in there, I think just showed his work ethic, and then obviously he unfortunately did it again this summer and then made it back in time for the start of the year. And after hearing reports of who knows if he was going to even be back, and he's back day one. You know, it's just a very versatile player. I feel like he grew more also. Like, he's, you know, and like you said, valedictorian, just really good kid. Obviously has the work ethic. And like you said, if the right small college gets a good look at him, you know, I could see him doing great things down the line with his basketball career. And plus, here's the thing. He's the valedictorian. So if you're smart as a small college, you're going, well, I can get him for his academics taken care of. And look, I got a 6'6", 6'8" kid who can score at every level and is a great passer, has really good instincts defensively. I mean, what more do you want there? So I think I think the world of Nick Nesser, and I, like you said, with drafting a team, I don't think you can go wrong with him with your any pick you wanted to pick him.
Now, Bruce, I know this will shock you. I was not number one in my class in high school.
Really?
I was just a little lower than that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The number three on my list will go to Frankfurt, and for the Edina Warriors, we'll go to Logan Bennett. Bennett, such a versatile player. In my opinion, John doesn't maybe quite get to show off all of that versatility here this year. With the graduation of Fuglsong last year and so forth, I think he's had to do some things maybe more post-oriented and so forth, especially on the defensive end, even on the offensive end at times. When you compare him to a Nesser, keep in mind Nesser gets to play with a Davidson and so forth, so it gives him some freedom to maybe go away from the basket, go into the mid-post a little bit more and so forth. So I think Bennett can really stretch the floor a lot like Newland with the deep three. He puts it on the floor, can create his own shot, really good passer. I thought his patience was something that started to show up to me late in the year. I thought early in the year was maybe forcing the action a little bit more. I thought his maturity as a player and his patience there the last couple of times. He's had, what, two 29-point games here in the last couple of weeks, and he's doing it so efficiently. I think the other night I had him on the stat sheet that came into SBCSportsZone.com on the email, it was 14 to 20. So, I mean, doing it with great efficiency, just a tremendous player, really, really good player. I would imagine it's going to be over 1,000 points pretty early in his senior year. And usually when that happens, guys, if the good Lord blesses you with some health, you start to climb into, as we see with Bryce right now, you start to climb into that 1,200-1,300. You start to become in some pretty elite company. So I think that's all in the future there for Logan. Already a district champion, certainly has an opportunity to repeat as a sectional champion this year and try to get back to the combo. And obviously with what the Edina community's been through, that would be a neat thing for them. And I've been just real impressed with how Logan and his teammates have handled all that adversity. And I think the maturity of Logan Bennett as just a person, as a player, has a lot to do with that. So I congratulate him on a great junior season and put him in my three spot.
Yeah. In my two spot, I had Logan Bennett of Edina. Like you said, it just really, really evolved his game. Maybe was hurt a little bit more by having to play a little bit more of the five. But really good shooter, could drive to the basket really well, score out of the post. Like you said, just really patient offensively as well. I do think he's shown some great leadership over the last couple of weeks with this really obviously tough time for Edina and their community. I do think his maturity has really played a big role in that. Really good kid. Really happy to see how good of a season he's had this year as well.
Yeah, my two spot, I go to Uniota there with Isaac Little. Again, stat sheet aside, I think with his injury, some of his averages per game might not be. I think we talked about this with Emily Coleman last week on the show a little bit. There's certain players, Bruce, I don't need a stat sheet. I just need to go watch a kid play six or seven times and then give you my opinion. You know what I'm saying? This is a kid that just takes over a game without even taking a shot. Well, he's also a kid that can get 20 on any night if he needs to score. So that right there tells you his value. When you think of Coach Hoops and the tempo he wants to play and the style he wants to play, to me, Isaac as a point guard has just complete control of that, complete understanding of that, and really does a good job of utilizing his ball handling skills and his basketball IQ to make sure that happens. He also has such a good feel, John, of when it's time to go get one. You know what I mean? There's times that I've seen here recently in big games where in the first quarter you'd be like, ooh, this Uniota team is not the type of team that wants to play from behind. They're off to a bad start here or whatever, and you'll see him over a 2 or 3 minute spurt just kind of turn it up a notch and, you know, go create something off the dribble or go make a big shot or so forth. So great free throw shooter, very, very efficient player. He, like Bennett, I'll say this, and I think this is where where fans and coaches and all alike, we try to really watch the growth of kids. He, like Bennett, he's really matured in the last week.
Yeah.
Or the last year. Sorry. The last year. He's a kid, you know, again, when I don't know how many of us in life were mature as freshmen and sophomores. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things of, you know, his growth as a leader and just his maturity and his composure on the court's been something that's jumped out at me this year. In terms of that point guard bias, I know, but I tell you, I just really like the way he runs this team. And even on a team that is 10 deep and has a lot of, as you can see from my list, has a lot of all-league talent, I certainly think he goes to the top of that list.
And then for my player of the year, I have Cam Evans of Zane Trace. Obviously, this dude can score it. He's really, I think he's grown as a passer, really good rebounder, gets to the free throw line at an elite level and then shoots it at an elite level when he gets there. He takes charges. I mean, he does everything on the court. It's going to lead the league in scoring for a second straight year. What is he up to, eighth or sixth in the all-time leading scorer. And that's as a freshman, he didn't play very much. So he's doing that in 3 years. Has to have one of the higher scoring averages for a career in the league, I would think. Just outstanding player. Just each year he's made a marked improvement in some spot in his game. Like before last year, he became a decent 3-point shooter. Now he's really good 3-point shooter. And then what are you going to do? How are you going to guard him then? We did a great job on him in the first game. And then the second game he took everything that we took away from him and he just turned it the other way and then scored like 24, 25 and just, you know, really took over the game. And he's got that mentality to do it and kind of chooses the right time to do it as well. So he's my player of the year.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. Obviously, in the one spot, Cam Evans, and as we said, eighth all-time. Depending on their tournament run, could get as high as maybe third. Certainly, if he gets to the district final regional, could set the Zane Trace school record. All those things are in play. But again, it's even beyond the numbers, you know, Bruce. Just the same way we said season stats, career. I don't even need the career stats. I just need to go watch him play. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where from day one of his freshman year at the preview, I remember him coming into the game for Zane Trace there, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm thinking, who's this kid? You know what I mean? And, like, you start to watch him, and then you watch him play a couple trips, and you just watch his feet, and you watch his shoulders stay square on the drive and so forth, and you're like, gosh, this kid's like a future player of the year in this league. And, you know, little did we know it'd be within 2 years. Just a special talent. John, I can't remember. You know, like, obviously Dylan Swingle at, like, 7 foot, you know, could score. Right. I can't remember a guard, though, that just scores so easy. You know what I mean? It's just so unforced. It's so, you know, smooth. And again, efficiency is the word I would use. That's what's so impressive for me. So, again, I know he's had a lot of talent around him, which makes it hard to key on him. I think that's something that's a fair point that people have shared with me, you know, in terms of, well, he's playing with Nesser and he's playing with a guy that can handle the ball and he's – you know, what are you going to do to him? I get that. But still, there's a lot of people, you know, that, you know, get those one-on-one opportunities and they might go on to have a career that's, you know, where you're the, you know, a good player. This guy's, you know, arguably going to be a top five scorer in the history of our conference. So I think that we just need to appreciate what we're watching here. He's been in a situation where he's been there, done that in terms of their tournament success, and it'll be exciting to watch and see where he finishes. And it's been a pleasure to follow him. I know that.
Okay, if you can wrap up, gentlemen, your 5 through 1 and the player of the year, John.
For my 5 spot, I had Bryce Newland of Paint Valley. 4 is Chris Chandler of Piketon. 3 was Nick Nesser of Zane Trace. 2, Logan Bennett of Edina. And my player of the year was Cam Evans of Zane Trace.
Shane?
Recapping third team for me, I had Nesser in the 5 spot, Chandler Pikton in the 4 spot, Bennett in the 3, Little in the 2, and then Player of the Year, Cam Evans.
All righty. And the official list comes out when? Tuesday night? Midnight?
Is that Tuesday correct? Night, Wednesday. Midnight, usually.
Okay.
Well, Wednesday morning, I guess, is when it's supposed
morning,
to.
Morning, Wednesday.
All the media now uses Tuesday at midnight.
All right. Well, we will look, and of course, we will compare and see how these gentlemen did against the official list. That's something we'll probably talk about next week. Guys, in our final segment, we're going to look at the boys and see what we like and what we are concerned about for each of them entering the second season. And this final segment of our podcast number 277, I do believe, is going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Their phone number is 740-986-4653. Look them up on the web at crownhillgolfclub.com. Give Kevin or his staff a call, and it's not too far off in the future. You guys might be out hitting the little white ball around and taking advantage of some of this good weather that we continue to have. Who knows if we can get the mud off the balls at this point. Guys, we've got the boys tournament coming up. Start play here this week. And what we're going to do, I'm going to give you each an opportunity to complete the sentence. I really like blank, but I am concerned about blank for each of the SVC teams. We're going to go alphabetically here, I do believe. So, John, our first school being Edina, I really like blank, but I'm concerned about blank for Edina. What do you say? And then we'll go to Shane to get his for Edina.
For Edina, I really like their draw in the first and second round, and then I am concerned about their lack of depth.
Yeah, for Edina, I love how this team has fought through adversity and really have come together and seem ready to go. But I'm a little concerned about the style that Alexander will play in that potential sectional final. I don't hate the draw. I just that the style of play could make for a tough matchup.
Okay. We move along to Huntington. John, what do you say?
I like their chances now being in Division IV, but I am concerned about having to play South Webster in Division IV. I think if they could have played this 5-day or 5 games in 6 days and gotten the 3 extra wins like they did before the tournament draw, they're going to have a much better draw. Now South Webster is now, I believe, 500, and they've won like 10 of their last 13 games in a really tough conference. I do not like that draw at all for Huntington.
Yeah, for Huntington, I love how this team's never quit. They've continued to overachieve in many ways. My biggest fear for them is having 5 healthy guys come next week. That stretch really took its toll. Haynes is out. Smith is going to be most likely out. He's going to be a game time decision. I'll give the kid credit for trying. I know Free kind of got banged up, did come back the other night. But, you said it well. The scheduling and the way we seed early, we talked about this last week. Huntington's the perfect example of how that matchup would completely be different if they would have waited and seeded at the end of the regular season rather than a week early.
John, how about completing it for Paint Valley?
I really like having Cruz McFadden back in the lineup. I think him being out actually probably helped them overall because it gave a chance for the Mettler kid to play some big minutes on varsity, to kind of grow as a player. But I also like giving them more depth with Cruz being back in the lineup. But I am concerned about a possible sectional final matchup with a 21-1 New Boston team. talk about a team with depth. New Boston's just, they're just loaded right now. They play a style that, I mean, if like a Newland and Grubb get hot though, they could Penn Valley could pull it off. It's just a really tough sectional final matchup in that, in Division Four.
Well, I think we're on the same page here. I think Paint Valley has top seed capability in Division Four, but I'm concerned about their inability to consistently play at a high level for 32 minutes. You know, this is a team where in Division Four, including a New Boston, you know, how many teams are going to have, you know, two guys from Newland and Grubb's ability to score to just overwhelm them? I'm not saying those pairs aren't out there, because I know New Boston has some really elite scorers and players, but I'm saying at the D4 level, Newland and Grubb become a very legitimate 1-2 punch. And then you throw in the athletes, like you said, McFadden and Mettler's growth and Miller and Jackson Williams, Jeffers, so forth on down the line. And even their ability to get some size off the bench with Blanton and so forth. So I don't know. I just feel like they have top C capability if they can just find a consistency level and play their best basketball at the right time. Obviously, that Piketon win when you consider what we think of Piketon in Division III should tell us a lot about what we need to know for Paint Valley going into D4.
Okay, we go next to Piketon. John?
For Piketon, you know, I really like – you know, their kind of coaching and how well they're playing at times. You know, obviously not being able to knock off one of the top teams in the league, like we kind of expected them to, or expected that they could do. I think they might be a year away, but I am concerned about kind of their matchups with that West Union team that knocked them off in double overtime earlier this year, that can put some pressure on. Well, I do think Fuller has made some great leaps ball handling wise. They don't have a lot of ball handling depth. And then if they get past that, then they would have another matchup with a obviously really good Zane Trace team. So their draw's not ideal, but I do think that getting more time in the gym with their situation is just going to make them better down the road.
Yeah, for Piketon, I love how many close games they have played, and they've won some, they've lost some, but I love that experience because I think it's very important in tournament time. I am concerned, where do the easy points come from if the three ball is not falling? I think this is a team that sometimes struggles to find the easy points, and I think that's why I've watched a lot of matchups to where, you know, they've played the defense to compete with the top teams, but just haven't been able to score the basketball.
All right. Next up is Southeastern.
For Southeastern, I really like getting a couple extra days of practice. You know, they're mostly sophomores. They've taken some bumps and bruises this year, but that's just going to make them better. For that big senior year that I'm sure they're kind of all pointing to. Now, I am concerned about South Point. I think they play a very similar style to a Chesapeake team that handled Southeastern pretty easily last night or on Saturday night. And I do think that's a really tough matchup for them, so it could be kind of a quick out. But, I mean, felt like at times Southeastern's playing pretty well. So we could see possibly a big upset in that game. And if we do, then it's once again, get some more practice time, get some more reps, and just make some better for the future.
I love the growth in this team and the ability to overachieve on a given night. You know, I watched this team beat Paint Valley. I watched this team, play Vinton County and stretches really competitively. Obviously went toe-to-toe with Uniota and a lot of those matchups, you know, there late in the year. So I'm encouraged by their ability to overachieve on a given night if it all comes together. What concerns me, again, is the inconsistency, the inexperience, and then in this particular matchup, as John just talked about, really, really well. So that would obviously be the big concern. But you know, if you can survive the first 4 to 5 minutes and settle into a game, the deeper the underdog goes, you never know. So that's what we'll be rooting for, obviously, in the SVC.
Next up is Uniodo.
For Uniodo, I really like the fact that defense plays well in the tournament. It tends to carry over. And having the experience of playing at Southeastern, what I don't like or what I'm concerned about is Division II as a whole. Hillsborough's, I don't know if I want to say really good, but they're a really tough matchup. Team that shoots three ball really well. Played a 21-1 Blanchester team with a big time recruit to a 2-point game this past week. They're a pretty good team. It's a really tough matchup. And then just kind of as you move on, it doesn't get easier. You get a district player of the year and Trey Robertson likely in the sectional final with Waverly, who's got some great athletes. And then you get to go play some state-ranked teams in the district after that with Fairfield Union and possibly Jackson or Sheridan to possibly get to a district championship. It's Division II is just really tough. It's a bear.
Well, we're real similar here. I think this is pretty accurate, as similar as we are. I think they play a style built for tournament, I think, is what I really, really like. But again, I had right here word for word in my notes just to show you how similar John and I were looking at it, how they will react to the D2 athletes in a team that maybe matches their depth. And I would even throw in there how they play from behind. You know, John, maybe you can help me here. I can't remember too many times how many times Uniodo, say, trailed by 8, 9, 10 points in the second quarter. You might be able to help me through. I know some teams that did beat them, maybe pulled away late. Will Uniodo be able to trust its style if a team is able to play 6, 7, 8 points out in front of them, say into the second quarter, maybe early third quarter, and kind of trust who they are? So that would be something that I have not seen them. You obviously, you're 19-3 for a reason. You probably don't get behind very often, you know. But that would be something that I think would really be a challenge to them in terms of depth and style play.
Next up is Westfall.
With Westfall, I really like how their team has grown throughout the year and their first round matchup. A chance to get a win there. What I'm concerned about would be their second round matchup. Because I don't think anybody really matches up with how Fairland plays really well, besides maybe a Zane Trace in that Division III tournament. So I like their, the way they've grown individually, I think as players they've all gotten a lot better as well. So I think there's a lot of good things coming for the Mustangs, and it could start off with a tournament win over Belpre on Monday night.
Yeah, John. You know, with Westfall, we talked about this throughout the year on SVC Sports Talk. I like how high their potential is, how high the ceiling is. I get concerned about how low the floor goes. You know what I mean? It's one of those where, you know, on one night, the team that went to Edina and won is in there somewhere. Well, that tells you that they can compete with those teams in their bracket. On the other side, though, this is a team that I watched score 25 points at Piketon. I watched, you know, they lost. I watched on film where they lost to Huntington. I watched in person where they struggled with Huntington on their own home floor. They struggled with Southeastern a couple times. So I don't know. I think this is the perfect example of what tournament basketball is all about. Somewhere in there, if the right Westfall team shows up, they're able to play and compete for a sectional championship. If the wrong team shows up, it's going to be one and done, and that's fascinating to me. But I'll give the first year coach a ton of credit, because, like I said, I watched a team play in the middle of the year where I went to my car thinking, "Gosh, I don't know as a coach you can get them back." And like I said, within I think it was 6 days later, 7 days later, they went to Frankfort and won. So again, coach to coach, that's a job well done. That's an outstanding job of keeping them together.
All right, last and certainly not least, Zane Trace.
for me, I really like their experience, their tournament toughness, getting to a regional last year. I am concerned about facing teams that have faced them before. It's hard to beat a team three times, no matter how talented you are. So kind of an SEC gauntlet to get to a district final. But I do like their matchup when they would get there. And then kind of for their overall goals, I'm concerned with a harvest prep in the regionals. So,
yeah, I like that they've been there, done that. I like that they're going to have probably the two best players on the court most nights, at least two of the top three most nights, all the way through the district level. My biggest concern would be the same thing I've said all year. I question how healthy they are in terms of, and then how does that impact the depth? Injury, foul trouble, things like that would be the biggest concern. I love, there's a lot to like about this team and their opportunity to do it again.
Okay, we will pick this up next week, undoubtedly, as we review things that happened in the past week, and we'll talk about more about it at that point. Guys, if any of you listeners would like to contact our gentleman, you can do so through several means. For Shane, the email is admin1@svcsportzone.com. On Twitter, his handle is SVC Sports Zone. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportzone.com. John Bruce's email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And on Twitter, he uses the infamous Coconut Wall Papa as his handle. We all know the story behind that. Still don't believe it, but we all know that. And then when they're doing the Twitter thing about SVC stuff, they use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk, and you might want to set up your Twitter machine so that it searches for that, because it's a good thread to kind of keep an eye out for. I think our buddy Derek also adds in a little bit from time to time on that as well. On the DBK Media Services voice line, you may leave them a message at 740-569-3254. And we remind you that if you see our traffic on Facebook, please share it. On Twitter, please retweet it. And if you're listening on iTunes, consider giving us a good rating and maybe even a positive review. We move now into our final thoughts. John, busy time. What's cooking on your agenda for this week?
A lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. we got tournament prep, obviously. Then I actually have an entire kind of thing planned out for all the games I'm going to get to. I'm going to try to see as many SVC teams as possible. I wish the girls were at least playing different times.
Yeah.
On Thursday, because the drive between Southeastern and Waverly isn't bad. But I'm going to try to get out to as many things as possible. When I do, I'll probably be doing the hashtag SEC Sports Talk, unless someone else is doing it
okay.
That time. But for the most part, just really looking forward to getting out. This is my favorite time of the year, is tournament time. I washed my car for the first time all year.
Wow.
First time this decade to get ready for the tournament trail. I'm in it a lot, so I figured I'd pamper old Darlene.
Okay. Darlene. That's a sexy name for a car, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shane, what on your agenda?
I don't even know how to follow that, to be honest. I would say, one last thing someone asked me is how much in the tournament action do they let them play? You hear that term all the time, John. Yeah. I had that down, and my response to them was, I don't know how much more in today's game you can let someone play. So I honestly think that's a little bit more of an older saying. I think the way the game was called, say 10, 15, 20 years ago, especially, that was true into the tournament. Honestly, I think it's more how the regular season's just called now, period. I don't know that I see a ton of difference into the tournament on how it's called. That's just my opinion. But I would tell sports fans, Bruce, that this is a great time of year. You get into the basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, high school baseball track starts up a little bit for teams that are eliminated. You get closer, I know as a Reds fan, like you get pitchers, catcher start and spring training starts, and then you get into the Reds opening day or whatever team you root for. And then, the Masters and you're in about 6-7 week period here from March Madness and so forth. This is it. I mean, this is the greatest sports time of year where you blend about 3-4 different sports, 3-4 different levels that you like. And, it's just a fun time. I continue to give shout out to Great Seal Sports. If you get a chance to see that magazine, awesome article this past month. It's a pleasure to feature those kids with Bryce Newland, Logan Bennett, Allison Basie, Macy Graves on the 3-point shot. I know magazine had John in there talking about the younger levels. I know this upcoming month we're going to highlight some facilities out at Huntington and so forth. So I look forward to that. I also appreciate Mojo and what they're doing, able to have Sierra Minton and Abby French highlighted for their job. And then shout out to Maggie Holbert. I mentioned her a couple weeks back, the sixth grader Paint Valley. She was up there at the state hoop shoot this week. She finished third in the entire state of Ohio. It was my understanding that entire thing, John, started with like 22,000 competitors. And goes through all your local yeah. levels. And then, you go into the county, and then she was able to advance. It was really cool out of the district and then on the state finished third there. So congrats to her. So a lot going on. I know we run a little long tonight, but the back-to-back weeks where we do the all league, it's always so much fun. So, John, happy tournament season to you. Bruce, make sure you get out and see some tournament basketball, or at least be able to listen in this week. And we'll get together next week and do it for a final time here in the winter season. So on that note, we'll go ahead and get on out of here. All week long, SBC fans. Oh, and by the way, sorry. Congratulations to Westfall Wrestling. Wrestling, fifth straight. I meant to say that tonight. Outstanding accomplishments. All those results are on the website as well. So, again, on that note, fans, make sure during the entire postseason for wrestling and for basketball for boys and girls, make sure to check out svcsportszone.com, and we'll do our best to always keep it 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.